So, good morning. We're going to read from Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24 and 25 together. And I'm going to turn off my microphone, so here we go. And let us consider. We thank you for this day, and we ask that you would stir us up through the words of encouragement that have been given today, that we would receive all that you promised today, and that you'd form and inform us, infuse our hearts by your grace, ignite our hearts to passion and to purpose. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You can sit down as you find yourself comfortable. I'm very excited to begin this morning, just in the tone and understanding of stirring one another up to love and good works. In the preaching training class this past Saturday morning at 9 o'clock, Kara spoke, and the word that she gave and the picture she gave stirred me to continue in what God had called me to do in that moment. And I felt very infused by faith when she spoke. And so I asked that she would speak again today, and prophetically, as God would have it, all the words of encouragement that came this morning were from ladies, which is a very special thing. And so I believe that what we're coming into is a time and a movement and a moment is that the voices of women are being empowered and released in this day, and it's shaking things up. Church history, if you have any background in understanding history at all, you understand that the movement of God has never overlooked women. Ever. It's always been empowering of and releasing their voices, and for some weird reason throughout church history, often women get it better than men. But then in some weird reason in church history, men try to stop women from speaking. And then God continues to ignite it and enliven it. And so that's something that is a priority of our church, is that we would have the ability to see the whole body of Christ speak. Because we are all gifted, and there is stuff that is inside of each heart that is meant to be shared. And so church structure is never meant to be one worship leader and one superstar, good-looking, insanely awesome pastor. So we're sorry we're doing you a bit of a disservice in misrepresenting what, no joking. But the reality is that we are to see each other and stir each other up to love and good works. And what we're gonna see this morning, what I'm gonna try to frame for you this morning is the way that Jesus works is it's very funny. And it's very interesting, and we just got to hang on and pay attention. But what I'm going to end up preaching on that God had stirred my heart towards will explain and help inform what just took place in worship this morning. And so I believe confidently that we will understand things deeper as a church today, and we'll understand why we do what we do. So if you have no background in church, or you're new to this whole scene and frankly singing and people shouting and people doing other things and then people talking kind of freaks you out, maybe today you'll see a little bit more as to why we do what we do. And so I want to invite Kara to come and to give a word of encouragement that she had prepared for the preaching class, and she's going to share it with us today. Yep, as you wish.
Good morning. Hello. Praise the Lord. Okay, so yeah, I shared this yesterday with our class, and so here we go. I was making coffee Friday morning, like I normally do. Hallelujah. And the Lord just started to speak to me. Something very practical. And as I was getting the ingredients prepared, let me grab the lid here. Here's my coffee press. This is what he said. Okay, thanks. So I got on my grounds and he said, these grounds represent my children. And so many of them feel like they've been ground down by the circumstances of their life. Just feeling really tired. And they're crying out to me and they're seeking my word and seeking my face. And I paused there for a minute and I thought about that. I can relate to that. And I thought to myself, gee, I wonder if some of us really realize how dangerous our prayers are. Because we cry out for the Lord, but we expect him to show up in a certain way. But he can show up any way he pleases. I start pouring the water in, and he said to me, is that water cold? No. I said, it's hot. He said, yes. So as we're in our situations, we're crying out to God, we're calling out to him, and all of a sudden it feels like the heat is being turned up, and it's not fun. And then he just kind of lets us stay there for a while, and he brews us. So we're hanging out with Jesus. And if that wasn't enough to go through, he presses us. And it reminded me of the scripture in 2 Corinthians, where he says we're pressed on every side. We're not destroyed. Hallelujah. So he said, well, are you just going to let that coffee sit in this container? I said, no, I'd like to drink some, please. And he said, well, I believe that that's many of what my children need to do. That they are sitting and they are stuck in some of these situations. Their eyes are focused on what they can see. But if they would just pour out what I have poured into them to someone else, that breakthrough would come. And sometimes that doesn't always look like the way we think that it should look. And sometimes it doesn't happen overnight. But you know what happens? Our hearts change. Our attitudes change. And I believe that's more important to God sometimes. Of course he wants to bless us. Of course he doesn't want us to be stuck in these situations. But he's building our character. And in reaching out to people, we're also exercising our authority too, which Pastor Randy has been speaking to us about for these last 6 months. So I'd just like to encourage you all today, the next time you go and make your cup of coffee, you're a good tasting, aromatic, flavorful cup of coffee to somebody that really needs you. So bless you. Have a good day.
So, So we want to bless that. We want to bless the resonation of the word of Christ that came through a willing vessel. And so, Father, we thank you for your voice. And we pray for the word that is resonating in hearts right now, that you would cause us to pour out, to encourage others, and that you would release more of your voice through the corporate body. We thank you, we love you, and we trust you, and we bless you for such a day as this, where you're shaking things up and everything is about to change. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Wow. Wasn't that fantastic? That was very timely. And see, now, as it's resonating in your heart, as the word is resonating in your heart, you are feeling stirred up. You are feeling encouraged. Something is changing just by the spoken word. And here's the key of a corporate gathering of why we come together. Is it does not happen by yourself. The idea that you can live a Christian life and not be a part of the gathering of the Christian believers is an absolutely foreign concept to the context of Scripture and to the reality of church history.
Right.
It's a foreign concept. And that is not me trying to convince you saying, better come to church. Why weren't you at church? Here's what the writer of Hebrews is saying, who also, there is great theory that the writer of Hebrews might have been a girl. True story. On this Sunday, we are talking about that. Now, I'm not going to make that statement because it's very difficult to decide, and you will never find anybody coming to a consensus about it. But the reality is we'll find out one day. But let me highlight this really quickly for you. Let us consider Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24 to 25. Let us consider. Let us put our minds towards something. Consider isn't just let us wonder. The understanding of that is to be incredibly focused. It's actually the understanding of what a weightlifter has to do in order to train physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually in order to craft their body in a certain way. It is the way that a mother or a father who is preparing dinner for their family or a dinner for others, they are considering not just how to please themselves, they're considering how will this meal feed a wide variety of people. It's actually intelligent, thoughtful process. And so this idea of considering is how to stir one another up, how to provoke. This word actually in here, this concept actually has a provocative understanding. It's how to actually entice people towards Christ. Can you believe that that's written in the scriptures? Jesus is not afraid of our emotions, how our passions can be stirred so quickly towards something. He's wired us that way. He has wired us that way, that when we are stirred up towards something, we evangelize it very quickly. When a movie stirs you up, when the movie writers have come up with a way of depicting a story, and it causes you to go, oh, this is so exciting. Like when I first watched The Avengers and I saw the Hulk, and I don't know if you've ever seen this movie before, but there is a cartoon character called the Hulk, and he's this big, green, crazy Hulk of a man, beast, and it's in the imagination of some, but when I first watched this movie, I was so stirred by his ability to flip cars and to rescue people and to stop things. And he just kind of looks at this beast of a thing that's going to invade and destroy Earth. And he looks at it and he throws it down and just like yes! So my most favorite person to watch movies with actually is Ben Falks. He's not here right now. He just left. But he is a young Down syndrome young man who I adore. And why I love watching movies with him is because my cheering is trumped by his cheering. And I don't look like I'm crazy because we're together and it's like, he's just like, rah! My most favorite young man to watch a movie with ever. Because together, we go crazy. We're just like, yeah, high-fiving and like, it's really, really special for me. Because, but true story, what happened with me is that when Avengers happened and the movie came out and the Hulk was there, I was outside of the movie theater. I was with a couple buddies. Maddie was there. It was after a big ministry event. And so we went to the opening of the Avengers. And I'm telling you, when I walked out of that movie theater, I felt like the Hulk. And I literally, with some other people, tried to flip a car. And I moved it with its shocks. But I literally looked at the car and I went, it's on. And I'm like, rah! And I'm like, rah! Nope, didn't work. Nope. And then we were literally walking and I'm like, what is it about me that feels so human and lame? Like I am not superhero at all. But let me tell you, I think single-handedly, in the context of Cloverdale, I might have evangelized everybody I knew to watch that movie. Now, I don't know if they needed my help, But I definitely was a part of the sales record. Because I told everybody about my joy of experiencing something that caused me to understand context of life and Christianity and like just purity and just men in general and what we are called to be and women. And just like there was so much revelation I got out of that movie that I am actually evangelizing you right now. Some of you are going to go watch it again. See how easy evangelism is when you're excited about something? You gave me 3 minutes of your time. I can convince you exactly why the Christian life is reflected in what the Avengers story is. And you'd be convinced, even if you didn't like it. You would be convinced, even if you didn't like it. My wife hates those little creepy things. But she is absolutely convinced that the perspective in the story is true. So hear this, because in the Christian life, we often feel like, well, telling people about Jesus is just so hard. Really? Have you seen him? Have you experienced him? Because we actually physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually are wired to express the joy of what we consider wonderful. We can't help it. We actually physically, emotionally, cannot experience the fullness of joy until we share it with others. Joy is always a shared experience. It is not a little kid sitting in a sandbox going, I'm full of joy. It's only joy when the kid brings another into the sandbox. And goes, look at what I've built. And if you're a kid like me, very quickly you realize that you want people just to look at your sandbox area or your Lego display and not let them play with it because they're going to wreck it. But it doesn't, like you build something, you've got to show it. That's why kids show it the best. They go, watch me, watch me, watch me, watch me, watch me. And I have 5 children and all of them continue, no matter how, I have a 14-year-old and a 5-year-old. That's the frame of what my children span in age, if you will. But all of them say, watch me, watch me, watch me, watch me, watch me. And some of them that haven't been beaten down enough in life by disappointment and overlooking, they will say it over and over and over and over and over, no matter who's around. They just want you to watch them. Even when they're doing the same thing. Because their joy isn't just joy in doing something. It's joy in watch me. It's joy in letting people into the area of our joy. That's what makes a dining room experience the most fun, is when you're sharing the food with others. Even if you're a greedy person and you don't want to share your food and you're like, this is my food, I'm eating my meal, you still want sometimes people to have a taste. Because it's like you cut it up and you're just like, oh, you've got to try this. You've got to try this, because you have experienced it. And so we need to be far less concerned about our fear and our frustration with what it looks like to share Christ, and more concerned with experiencing his fullness, because out of experiencing his fullness and his richness, you will naturally overflow into inviting people in. The testimony of Scripture is, come see what Christ has done. The very first evangelist in the Bible was the Samaritan woman, and she went to people and said, come see the man that told me everything about my life. Come see Christ. Come see Christ. Come see Christ. Come meet him. And the reality of this is very profound. So let us consider, with that scripture up there again, please, let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works. 2 things there in particular. Let us consider. No, please understand, this is actually intelligent thought. Like, you would do very well in life. You would do very well in life to consider what Sunday mornings and what your week would look like if you are going to be an encouragement to someone. And it doesn't mean you have to be an encouragement to someone up at the front, necessarily. It might be that God has called you for such a time to speak that out. But to actually consider, look around and go, who can I cause to love Christ better? Who can I cause to love Christ better? How can I do that? What would be a provocative way of causing someone to be so enlivened and passionate towards Christ that they would explode with his goodness? That's what these words of encouragement that were shared by the ladies today, that's what those words are meant to do. They're meant to stir us up. So do you know why we sing over and over and over again, and we sing corporately together? It's not because God needs encouragement. It's not because he's feeling a little discouraged, a little down with the way that things are in this world, and he just needs people to tell him that he's loved. That absolutely is not reflective of what worship is. Worship is calling us into a space, a new space, a renewed space where something needs to change in us. And it calls us there and it moves in us. And when we don't participate in it, we are not entering into that space. Now, there's confusion in the church worldwide. There's confusion in the church about what worship actually is, and everybody associates it mostly with music. Now, for a good reason, biblically singing and making a joyful noise and all of those things are absolutely in the Bible. There's hundreds and hundreds of verses that speak out, sing joyfully, play skillfully. Psalms 33:3, play skillfully before the Lord and shout with shouts of joy. The reality is, though, is worship is far deeper, far more profound, far more glorious than just an experience of singing. Worship is encountering Jesus in his fullness in every area of your life. That's why the Apostle Paul writes here in Colossians 3:15-17, and let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. See how he has to remind the church? And be thankful. We're going to talk about that in a minute. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your heart. And whatever you do in word or in deed, not indeed, indeed action, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. So here's the reality. Worship is the receiving. Worship in the gathering is the receiving of God's action by faith with thankfulness, with gratitude. Worship is receiving God's action by faith, not by feeling, by faith that God is good, he is for you, that he is up to something, and he is moving whether we feel it or not. You see, the spiritual formation just read in Colossians takes place in a corporate gathering, not your private devotion. Not your private devotion. It takes place in a corporate gathering. You can't teach and admonish yourself. Correct? And we all look silly when we're singing by ourselves. It's meant, the private devotion is a stirring to be an encouragement. So the devotion of Andrea today came up and it was to encourage and infuse something different in us, whether we feel it or not. But we are absolutely fascinated with the spectacular, and it has handicapped or crippled us. We are fascinated. Because of this multimedia area, we are fascinated with the spectacular, and we have literally had a desire to make everything so big, so great, And unless it happens in a way that causes us to go, wow, this is unbelievable, we think that we haven't experienced something in fullness. See, in reality here, the spectacular is not the way that God forms his people. The spectacular and the amazing experiences of revival that we've seen in the past rarely sustain the people of God for long. Because the people of God, because of the default of their hearts, our hearts, begin to worship the revival or the outpouring more than the one who gave it. And so it never sustains the people of God for long. That is the theme of Scripture running through for those that have eyes to see, and it is the reality of our history. Is it enlivens, it encourages, it sparks. But very quickly, we digress to thinking it's that experience, and unless we have that experience, it's not the same and nothing's happening. But the way that God forms his people is in the daily graces of actual movement towards you, in the mundane, the frustrating, the disappointing, the reality of feeling feltless Christianity. And standing in the space of faithfulness, endurance, standing in the face of persevering in reading the scriptures and encouraging one another and being a part of the body of Christ and understanding we're not meant to do this alone, but it is in the daily walking that forms us spiritually. If you're waiting for a revival, for things to break out and finally fulfill all your desires, you will be sorely disappointed for your whole life. Jonah saw one of the biggest revivals ever. If you don't have a church background, I'm not going to explain the story of Jonah, but he's that dude that you might have heard about one time that got swallowed by a fish. Pretty crazy story in the Bible. Definitely not going to explain it right now. But Jonah saw one of the greatest revivals in human history. An entire city turned to Christ in a moment. An entire city turned to God in repentance and change. And Jonah stormed out of the city and sat there and pouted. The greatest revival that he experienced in his life did not sustain him as a man of God. It was in the daily movement and the daily experience of being faithful in and out of the times that he finds himself in. So here's the reality, though. What I love about our church and what I love about what we are experiencing and sometimes exploring and trying to feel out, if you will, is what does it look like to stand in encouragement? What does it look like to stand in a space of worship and trust by faith God's action to us in Christ? And discipline our hearts to be thankful whether we feel it or not. Because by faith, we are saying God did something today, whether I feel it or not. Amen. Something changed. Amen. And he's given us the greatest, most clear example in watching people grow up. Watching little people grow up, it's amazing. It's amazing. See, my son is 14 years old. And it was just the other day that I went to hug him and realized he's getting really, really strong. And then I decided instead of hugging him, I'm just going to feel his chest out. Because I was like, I cannot believe your muscles right now. Now, he's been working as a laborer right now with my landlord, and he's swinging a hammer, and he's like putting up walls, and he's learning how to do this stuff. And I literally didn't notice it. Until all of a sudden, he came up one morning for breakfast, and I looked at him, and I'm like, what? like, look at you! And it happens, because he's in that kind of weird growing stage, and all of a sudden, he comes up the stairs, and I'm like, I literally at one point, because this just happened recently, and his voice hasn't totally changed yet, but I literally was getting up, and I heard a man in my house. And I had a flood of what is going down. I went out there, and I won't describe what I was wearing when I went out there, but I was out there as fast as I possibly can, because I was like, why is there a man in my house? I'm the man in the house. There better not be another man, because I locked the door. But all of a sudden, I heard his voice differently, and all of a sudden, he shocked me. And as he comes up the stairs, and he's like, it just shocked me. But understand this, that's the process of the Christian life. He's been growing the whole time. Now, he's not growing super tall yet, but he is growing. And he's growing all the time, and he's growing in a shocking way. We had Ben Ross and Brandon Backey come back from the island for a stag this weekend. And they came back better looking than ever. Can you guys stand up just for a second so I can embarrass you a bit? Thank you, Brandon. Look at those guys. Woo! So you guys can sit down. We'll bless you in this way. I'll bless you by, their number is 604-57, no. This is a shared experience of our church this morning for those that have spent a long time with these two young men. Seriously, when I saw them today and others did too, I went, wow, when did you get so good looking? Now, they were getting good looking the whole time, correct? But you know what's funny about growth? If I was staring at them during this whole period that they've been away interning at Cowichan and over on the island, if I had been staring at them the whole time, or if I'm staring at Malachi, my son, and I'm watching him 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, he'll be growing and I won't even know it. Growth is recognized through the eyes of others. Therefore, the corporate gathering has incredible validity for understanding what is actually taking place when we cannot see it, nor can we feel it. Your voice matters to this church. Your voice matters. Your time that you spend when you're alone and you're frustrated and you'd rather just kick back and watch Netflix or do whatever it is that you want to do. Your voice and your time and what you do and how you pray matters. And Kara spoke so powerfully this morning about the reality of needing to pour yourself out. Start walking into the encouragement that God has called you to do, and you will actually see the flavor that you are. Because if you just stay stuck, you're going to not release the flavor. The flavor is released when you're poured out. The reality of your gifts and talents only matter when you're serving another. It doesn't matter if you just go, well, what about me? When is it going to happen to me? No one encouraged me this week. Pour out yourself and watch the encouragement come, because you'll definitely get an encouragement, because people will be like, dang, that's quite a smell coming out of you. Look at you and go, oh, that is amazing. I needed to hear that. Yesterday morning, I needed to hear Kiara speak that, because it poured something in me. And I went, yes! So the look here of understanding our role in worship is not what we give to God. You don't have to come jacked, getting ready for worship and being like, I'm just going to come in and celebrate. I'm just so excited. Because you're not amping anything up. You are coming by faith in whatever circumstance you find yourself in, by faith to receive what God's action is in Christ for you, that you've been washed, you've been redeemed, that you've been restored, that God is drawing you to himself. You stand by faith and allow the space that God has called you to occupy with the corporate gathering of the believers, knowing that God is on the move and he is doing something. He is drawing you more towards Jesus. He is releasing his love in you in a crazy way, and you will not notice it. You will not notice it, but others will. Here, this is partly building from what I spoke last week, momentarily. So again, if I could speak pastorally to you here, I'm doing more of an explanation than a sermon this morning. because I believe lives are on the line because we are choosing to be more focused on what it feels like to be pressed than what it means to pour out. Lives are on the line because people need your voice of encouragement. People need your voice of encouragement. And truthfully, the Bible speaks in Hebrews chapter 10. We're going to put it back up again. Verse 24. I'm just going to highlight this. Verse 24 and 25. Let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and more as you see the day approaching. So here was an epidemic in the church at the time, is people began to have a habit of not meeting together. And that's a very easy habit to have in the summer. When it's nice and sunny, it's not right now, but when it's beautiful out and you're just like, oh, you know what? I think me and Jesus on a boat would be a whole lot more fun than me and Jesus in this church. And there's a temptation to find yourself getting in the habit of neglecting to bring your voice to the mix.
Good, good, good.
And it's the reality, what we got to witness this morning is it, we got to witness the reality of people speaking words of encouragement that this I do promise you, you'll never be the same again after this morning. And you never would have got what you got today had you not gathered here.
Right.
Now, Jesus, by his grace, always makes exceptions. So you can be like, well, what about this? Well, that might be true. But he says, don't neglect meeting together. And he's not talking about just going to a bar and getting a beer together. He's not talking about that. He's not talking about, have you had good times for wings? Or have you had a real good coffee chat lately? He's not talking about that. He's talking about the corporate gathering of how spiritual formation works. And we will never, ever be outgrowing the church. We will always need the church. And the church must be in full perspective in order for the witness of God to work in the world.
Praise God.
And I don't mean for a minute that God is handy, like that we can handicap God if the church dissipates, if you will. I'm not talking about our church, I'm just talking about church in general. But rather that God has chosen to work in our personal lives in the corporate expression of church, and it's apparently not optional. Apparently it's not optional. And there's consequences and frustrations that come when we choose to invest in ourselves instead of pouring ourselves out for others.
Wow.
I have so much to say about this. So much more to teach on. And Lord willing, we'll do it together. But the teaching is in catching what we saw this morning. We need to discipline our heart to be thankful that God spoke through his people. He's not speaking through just one. He's speaking through us all. And there's many more in this room that probably have more to share. But that doesn't mean that we need to stay here all day. The Bible is very clear about, like, there's some that get to share at a time. And we actually need to defer to others when more is stirred in our hearts. We need to go, okay, this person needs to share, and this person needs to share, and we begin to see the picture of God. Witness through the words of his people. But it matters. And so, pastorally, don't argue with me in your head about, well, I don't know if, like, it really matters if we, like, if so, let me explain this. I feel like some people are feeling right now, well, are you saying you can't miss a Sunday? That's a really small detail to a concept of, are you considering how to stir one another to love and good works? Because there's ways to miss a Sunday and still consider how to stir one another up to love and good works because you're planted in a corporate body. Because its spiritual formation happens in the process of the believers gathered together. And like we have said for many, many years in this church, there is something unique happening in this space that we occupy, whether we feel it or not, There's something unique happening as we have come together. And it'll never happen again in church history. It's a unique expression of the Holy Spirit changing you for the sake of others, and you are being changed, whether you feel it or not. There is a difference. Just like you will notice a difference because we haven't seen them for a long time, you'll notice a difference between Brandon and Ben because they have been in a corporate gathering of like-minded leaders and they're in a church and they're worshiping, and all of a sudden I get to see them today for the first time in a while and I go, something different has changed with you. Yeah. Now, I associated it with good-lookingness, but I see a resolve of spiritual maturity that I haven't seen in them in a I didn't notice before like I do now. And there's something beautiful of a strength of purpose and of character and of calling that they're actually carrying, and it's very visible for me to see it. And so what I'm doing as I'm speaking this now over them is stirring them up to love and good works. Because when they go home, they're going to get even better looking. And they're going to carry the weight of what God has called them to do, because it's being called out of them in the corporate gathering. Wow. It happens. So we can invite the worship team back up. We are not changed by the promises that we make to God, but we are changed by the promises that he makes to us. And so we receive God's action towards us by faith, not by feelings, by faith with thankfulness, thanking Jesus. And what I believe is a strong push in this day and age is a thankless Christianity and a thankless world where we go to people's houses and we really show that we don't thank people very much. We need to discipline ourselves. It's a reflection of our life, but we need to discipline ourselves to be the most thankful people on earth. Yeah. Filled with gratitude. Filled with gratitude. Thank people. Thank people for sharing today. Thank Kiara for sharing today, for freaking out and pouring herself out, doing what she doesn't necessarily want to do in the moment, but doing it because I asked her to. Going, okay, I'll do this. I believe this is right. There needs to be a thankfulness in our heart and a continued thankfulness for what God is doing in us and for us. So much more to say, but we're gonna, why don't we stand just for a moment here? Let's, as we respond in singing just momentarily, realize that there's a space that God is releasing in us today to be very, very thankful for what God has done. And I want to encourage you to be thankful today, just knowing that something changed in our heart. Don't partner with any offense or any like anything weird right now going, well, I don't know about this, or I don't know about this person, or I don't know about what's going on in my life right now. Consider in thankfulness, thank Jesus that he did something in you today that he wouldn't do any other way than bringing you here. It's very strange how he works that way. And it's not just our church has the cap on, or the top, if you will, on God changing us. But it's that where God has called us to be, we stand, we worship, and a change is affected in us that will affect us for the rest of the week and is meant to stir us towards love and good works, and stir us to stir others towards love and good works. And so you remember last week I encouraged you to encourage others. Find at least one person to encourage. Let's continue to do that, and let's find a person to encourage and stir up so that if they're feeling slow in their Christian life, they're feeling frustrated and alone in their Christian life, call them into his love. Share some of your story as to what you love about Jesus right now. And if you're not feeling it necessarily, and you're like, well, I don't know if I can encourage anybody because I don't really feel passionate towards Jesus, speak it by faith. Because you know he's good whether you feel it or not. Because he's good all the time, and he is always moving in and through us. And he has called you for such a time as this to not let your voice be silent, but to let your voice partner with his voice. Because it's his word, his work in this world that is going to reveal his glory in incredibly powerful and potent ways. And as Peter demonstrated him in himself, just ending with this, as Peter demonstrated, when Jesus spoke to Peter and said, Peter, Satan's asked to sift you like wheat, but I have prayed that your faith would not fail. And when you return, go and strengthen your brothers. Go and strengthen your brothers. Hear this morning. Faith in God's action is present even in failure. Faith in God's action is present even in failure. So if you're feeling like you've been failing, stand in faith today, because it's present even in your failure this morning. And Jesus has encouraged us to call upon him, trusting fully he is who he says he is, and he will do what he says he will do.